man, I hope this goes well. And, you know, it did. It did overall. It went pretty well.
How often do you work with young specialists? Because your work ethic was such that it was, for a kicker, seemed to be ahead of its time, bordering on, dare I say, legendary. I mean, it seemed to be pretty, well, pretty intense.
Well, Mackie Shillstone was a big part of that, and he's a local fitness guru. Everybody knows Mackie Shillstone in New Orleans, and he worked with me for many, many years, and I still say that he extended my career exponentially. I'm working with a Danish kid right now, Simon Mathiesen, and I don't know if he got drafted. I'm not sure if he has, but if not, he's certainly going to be a preferred free agent. He'll be in camp this summer. He's out of Northwest Missouri State. He's a great talent, and he's got really good ball flight, vertical ball flight. One of the things I look for in the young kids is, you know, the ball striking. That moment of truth when the plant foot hits the ground, that ball strike, you want to see that vertical ball flight. You don't want to see the ball laying down in the air. You just want to see that beautiful flight, and he's got that going, and it's going to be exciting. He's a big kid, 6'3". He's about 225 pounds. He's a big physical, a talented kid, and his mind is strong. I really look forward to it, and I'm hoping that that's going to be the next Danish guy.
Yeah. Now, leg strength, obviously, you were known for, but also clutch kicking.
Yeah.
What goes through your mind when you're lining up for a clutch kick, or when the situation is beginning to unfold to where you got to start thinking about, okay, this might be falling on my shoulders?
I would say that the two big words are anticipatory management. So all your work, all your homework's done way before that, when you have to go out and execute. And so I spent so much time, you know, Monday through Saturday, because Sunday I wanted to just be free and have what you consider unconscious competence. As an athlete, that's the highest level.
Yes.
Where you don't have to think about what you're doing. You don't have to and you don't want to be overthinking that moment, you know, and so understanding that your workbench is right there where the ball's put down, and understanding what you have to do to execute it, and replicating that movement and having your positive behavior being dominant, that's the key. Old habits you've got to get rid of, but you got to make the positive behavior dominant. And you do that Monday through Saturday, and then on Sunday you just go out and have fun, be an athlete, and let the talent take over and trust the preparation. That's really what's at.
Now, member of the NFL All-Decade team a couple times.
Yeah.
Playing for Jim Moore, where I think, what's the best way I can say this? Somewhat conservative offense.
We won with special teams and defense.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It pretty much put the onus on you guys.
It did.
Spent a lot in the kicking game. Was that extra pressure or?
No, I never looked at. Well, the way I looked at pressure was if the task is bigger than the skill, then you have pressure.
I like that thing.
So, you know, I spent so much time in practice, understanding my parameters and understanding my skill level and really defining that and knowing exactly what I could and could not do, and communicated that very powerfully to the head coach and to the special teams coach in pregame. I said, we're good from, you know, so they could strategize and say, well, 35-yard line, we're good, you know, or 40-yard line, we're good. We know we got 3 points or high probability of getting 3 points. That's powerful to have that. And not everybody, you know, that I've come across are willing to put themselves out there and say that and then go
You're
out
right.
and do it.
How much did you vary game to game? And I guess some of that would probably
depending
on
wind,
you outdoors.
Sure, depending on weather. I would usually, sometimes it would be negotiation, you know, where I would I would think maybe a little outside the box and think on the outside of what they were comfortable with. And so we usually came to an agreement, but it was always done ahead of time, so that when the first kick was done, you know, and we kicked the ball off at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central in the Superdome or wherever we played, you know, we were on the same page, and it was never like, we don't really know. It was always, again, anticipatory management. It was talked about.
One of the things I do for the NFL on Fox, when I'm a sideline reporter, I always find the kickers
Yeah, and you and go where you good from, right? You
yeah. Want, yeah, what is it
you
today?
Know? Yeah, what's
and
your
I
range?
Find, I find it can really vary day to day, obviously depending on wind conditions, but
yes,
but also
can.
Just depending on them. I've had different answers indoors in the same season.
Yeah, it is, and it's. But that's smart of you also to have that knowledge, because when they go to you, you can you
told
have
me
it.
He was good. He
yeah.
Said.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it sounds like you were ahead of your time in that, and in the
I think we were a little bit.
We were.
I think we were, you know, and John Silva was a guy I worked with in the University of North Carolina, and Mackey on the physical side. I think we were a little bit ahead of it, and Mackey was cutting edge anyway.
Yeah.
He was always coming up with stuff that was like, wow, I never even heard of this. You want me to do what?
Yeah.
You know,
all-time leading scorer for two franchises. I think you're still the only one with that, or is Vinatieri? I think it's
I'm
just
not,
you.
I don't know. Well, I think Matt Bryan broke my Falcons scoring record last year.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
people say, what's the biggest change now that you are inducted, or you're going to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? And I said, I no longer have to justify and validate the numbers. I don't have to say anymore, hey, I'm the leading scorer in the history of the game. I have more game winners than anybody in the history of the game. Consecutive game scoring, more field goals, et cetera, et cetera. I don't have to go there anymore. All I have to do is put on that gold jacket now.
Yeah, but
it's kind of cool.
I guess,
speaks for itself.
Was
yeah.
there a certain amount of frustration there? Because all-time leading scorer in hockey, Wayne Gretzky, doesn't have to debate.
Everybody.
All-time leading scorer in basketball,
yeah.
Kareem
yeah.
Abdul-Jabbar, doesn't have to debate. You know, all-time leading scorer in
MLB,
Ron, home run leader, or
they're all in.
Debate. Yeah, everybody. And without debate, no question whatsoever.
Yeah.
And yet, when it comes to the NFL, it's,
yeah.
well, but...
But he's a specialist. He's
yes.
a kicker. And, you know, the last guy that went in was 37 years ago, Jan Stenerud.
Wow.
You know, it's a long time ago. And finally, you know, we get another guy in there, thank God. So, yeah, it feels good. It feels right. And it was time. And but, again, there's a lot of other candidates that are worthwhile looking at, and their candidacy is valid. I don't think you have to debate one over the other. It's not like Terrell Owens doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Of course he does.
Yes.
He just needs to shut his mouth.
Yeah. Because it's going to happen. I mean,
you know, he just needs to.
It's going to happen. He can just,
you know,
just
chill down.
Yeah.
He needs to, you know, chill out and get off Twitter.
Yeah.
And he deserves it. I mean, he's second leading receiver in the game.
Yeah, I should apologize to our viewers right now because, you know, we are not using Morton as thoroughly as we should, because Morton has a second talent. He's a singer also. He cut a record.
Oh boy,
we should have had it.
You have the video?
I wish we did. We don't.
This is
have
back
it.
At MTV. We had the Take It to the Top video. I'll send it to you next time. You can cut.
Oh good.
Cut.
Yeah, I wish we had it.
You know what?
Was it you
the B roll, the B side of Take It to the Top was an instrumental version, and I'm telling you, all the local television stations in New Orleans used it for highlights, because it had that upbeat da 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 da.
So could you sing it impromptu?
Do 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 do. Sure, I could.
Would you?
I'm not gonna.
Oh, come on. Can we have a light
tent? Hey, I don't have to anymore. I'm in the Hall of Fame. I could use a backup singer.
Oh. I might ruin your career extremely quickly.
No. Mine never got off the ground in the singing department. I can tell John, that's dirty. You're dirty business
right there, man.
It
just struck me.
Yeah,
I was like,
bad.
You know what? Warren got this right.
Yeah, I do.
But, you know,
painting the walls with the got plenty of them if you want any. You got a record player?
You know what? You would have to have one now.
Yes,
oh,
you would.
Goodness.
I know
yes,
we can find one.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be worth having.
Yeah.
Not so sure.
Yeah,
now back to more serious stuff.
Sure.
Back to the Hall of Fame. Your family, how did they take the news? And
yeah, so Jen, my wife Jennifer of 20 years, next May 9th, we've been married 20 years. So she was in the room. Thank you. She was in the room, and we had actually gotten a phone call about 10 minutes before the knock on the door that our 12-year-old son Aiden had broken his nose in a trampoline accident.
Oh goodness!
So. That was kind of like, again, the yin and the yang, you know.
Yeah.
God's throwing more stuff at us. You know, hey,
yeah.
you just, here's what comes, you know. So we were dealing with that, really. When the knock on the door came, we were dealing with that whole thing because they were back in Atlanta and we were in Houston. So that was a little curveball, but, you know, he's doing better now, but it was an unexpected thing. But she was a calming influence for sure, because I was pacing like a lion in a cage. I mean, I was up and down, up and down, because we're basically sequestered from 3:30 Central until we got the word at 5:30, 2 p.m.
Oh, my goodness.
So for over 2 hours, I'm in the room, can't leave the room, and you don't want the phone to ring, because the phone is bad news.
That means you're not.
So, you know, I'm like, take the phone off the hook.
He'll be fine. The nose will heal on its own.
Yeah.
That sounds like the Turk in a different way.
The Turk, you know. That's how it felt. Yeah. You know, you don't want that phone call, because the last 3 years you had the phone call. Bad news. So when the knock came, though, it was pretty emotional, for sure.
The NFL is such a family and fraternity. Have you heard from anyone in particular that really touched you or impressed you that they would reach out and offer their congratulations?
Well, Peyton reached out. Coach Peyton was one of the first guys, and he was a big advocate for my candidacy. He was a big help along the way. And, of course, the Bensons. And Archie Manning was sitting right in the front row, and Peyton and Eli were there at the honor show when it was announced. So he gave me a big thumbs up and a wink. So lots of people had checked in. The Crown Prince of Denmark checked in with me.
Oh, my goodness.
And,
that's not bad.
Invited me to the castle. And so I'm going to have to clear my schedule for a day to do that in June.
If you need a backup for that.
The only invite I get is from Crown Royal. But
that's not a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with Crown Royal. So the Crown Prince, yeah, I was pretty excited. He's a big NFL fan. He's a big fan of followed my career for, and he'll be the next king of Denmark.
Wow.
And it's going to be incredible to see him and visit with him. And I'm going to invite him to Cannes. I don't know if he'll come, but he'll be invited.
Do you get back to Denmark much?
Yeah, I'm going to be back in June and again in July. And we're talking with the hall about doing one of the ring ceremonies. Well, we're going to do a ring ceremony here at a Saints game for sure.
Oh, fantastic.
I don't know. Awesome. I don't know what game yet. We're talking about that. But that was my first choice. I wanted to do it in New Orleans when they present the Hall of Fame ring. And but they also talk about doing in my hometown in Denmark, doing a ceremony, which could be kind of cool.
Absolutely. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but when I asked you about who you heard from, it was all Saints personnel or
it was
or
across the board.
And
I played in 25 years. I played for 5 teams, so it was pretty much across the board. I mean, my phone was laying like your phone is right here, and it literally looked like a
fireworks going off.
It looked like a house that had Christmas lights on it, and they just, you know how to music where it's coordinated. Mm-hmm. That's what my phone looked like for like 2 hours, and when it finally stopped and it got real hot, I had to turn it off. I thought things gonna blow up. I had like 700 text messages,
wow,
emails, phone calls. I just couldn't manage it, you know, right then. But it was just the craziest thing. I couldn't believe my phone could actually handle all that traffic. It was pretty cool.
You played for three pretty somewhat legendary but hard-nosed coaches. Bum, Jim Moore, Dan Reeves also, correct?
Dan Reeves, yeah.
Yeah,
Dick Vermeil.
I forgot about Dick Vermeil in Kansas City.
And the Giants.
Yeah, what was the experience like playing for, I guess, a variety of coaches? Were all of them, in terms of coaching you, or, you know, was it all, you know, okay, that's Morton, Lee Maloney, knows
what
he's doing?
Yeah, I think most of the time what was discussed up front was, listen, there's accountability on every level. There's accountability on the player to go out and be ready to go Sunday afternoon. That was the big thing, right? And if you did that, they left you alone. Mm-hmm. If you started not performing, they started tinkering. And the kicking position is one position where people love to tinker, love to get their hands in there and be an expert all of a sudden. Hey, let me fix you. Come here. I'm looking at, you know, you're doing this. And you don't want that. As an athlete, that's the worst thing that can happen to you, because now you've gotten all this input. You just want to run your own show, man. You want to run it. You want to run it the way you do it and have guys trust that you get it done. And leave you alone. And that's really, I was very, very fortunate that I was able to consistently play at a level where they left me alone. And so they really didn't manage me. They just I gave them the information so they could manage the game and me in the game. And that's really the best analogy I can give you, is that I think I empowered them and they empowered me back by leaving me alone. I empowered them by just telling them the parameters and what I needed from them. It's like powerful, productive relationships are based on powerful, productive communication, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if you do that in any walk of life, I think you got a chance. Just be transparent, be honest, and be upfront. And if you can't do something, you got to say it. You got to say it up front, because nobody like the worst thing a head coach dislikes the most, surprises. Mm-hmm. I want surprises. I don't want a surprise. Don't tell me you can do something and then you can't do it.
Yes.
No surprises. Be on time. Be professional and do your craft. Keep your mouth shut. And, you can play for 25 years.
Yeah. Any specific venue that you disliked playing in?
You know, I liked it all. I really did. I loved Lambeau Field. I thought it was legendary. I loved the old ballparks where you could just feel like the history. I love that. And I, even as bad as Philadelphia's old field was, they had a judge and a prison in that thing.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Wow.
People right in there.
Yeah,
I would believe it there.
It was a horrendous field with seams, and it was a baseball field. It was back in the AstroTurf days.
Mm-hmm.
But still had great times there. Chicago was terrible field conditions, run by the city, not run by privately, but run by the city. So that says a lot right there. Without going too deeply into politics, it was just sand underneath, and you couldn't get any footing there. And then it was just immaculate fields. You know, Tampa Bay was beautiful, and the indoor fields, of course, were great. And it's funny, I looked at my numbers outside versus inside. My outside numbers are actually better than my inside numbers.
That
is something. That's interesting.
And everybody kept saying, he's a dome kicker, he's a dome kicker. I said, don't think so. Take a look. And that was actually one of the things we did that we brought to the voters this past year was Jeff Duncan, who's been a huge proponent,
yes.
A big supporter, along with Rick Goslin over in Dallas and some other guys. He brought, evidence, numbers, where we ran numbers through Gil Brandt, who's a legendary scout, personnel guy from the Cowboys. And he ran numbers where he compared my numbers to Jan Stenerud, who's in the hall, and then to Vinatieri, outside, indoors, 40-plus yards and all that, because everybody talks about Vinatieri being the next guy, was going to be the next guy, kicker, in the hall. And my numbers favorably stacked up. On all accounts.
We are so glad they did. We are not done with you quite yet, but we do want to check in quickly with Brianna Nowlin. She was out there. You were out there at the crawfish boil.
Yeah.
She has been hard at work, visiting with lots of fun fans, having a great time, eating a lot of great crawfish, we know. Bria, I hope you're having a great time. Fill us in. What's the atmosphere like?
Thanks, John and Jen. I'm Brianna, and I'm here live at the Saints practice facility, where we will be announcing the Saints' seventh and final pick here in the sixth round. And to be announcing it, we are honored to be joined by the Manzella Saints, the boys and girls champions of the Kenner Flag Football League, and also the regional champions of the NFL Flag Football League. They were able to represent the Saints down in Disney World. Awesome job, and I know they're excited to announce the pick. I'm excited to see who we're announcing. It's going to be a great show for you guys. Also, we wanted to talk about how earlier today we had the Saints Super Bowl draft party for all of the season ticket holders, so you'll catch some of that footage in just a little bit. I'm going to kick it back to you, and in just a second, we're going to see who the Saints pick.
Excited to find that out, Bree. Thank you so much. Eat some crawfish for us. Ours is sitting behind us waiting. Getting to chat with Morton Anderson, Hall of Famer, one of the best interviews I've ever had. Such a colorful, large character. I have to ask you a little bit in summary. The time you spent in New Orleans, you obviously have assimilated into the culture. What does the fan base, the team, the city mean to you personally?
it's home for me. You know, it started here. My formative years were here from when I was 21 till I was 34. And so majority of my professional life was spent in New Orleans, and on and off the field, the greatest, most powerful experience that I've had in my life. I don't know what else to say about that. I thought the fan base was raw, real, and loyal, and it continues to be today. Better or worse, it's like a marriage, you know. You stick with each other, and it was just great to be out here today with the fans and see everybody and take pictures with them and hear the stories. And I saw some old stuff, rookie cards, and old magazines, and people brought all kinds of stuff. It was amazing to see all old jerseys and kids that weren't even born and teenagers that weren't born when I played here, but their parents are passing down the knowledge and the wisdom, and now they're fans. It's wonderful. So that you're never forgotten. You know, I never feel like when I come back to New Orleans, I always feel like people will remember and appreciate what you did here. And it's a very powerful experience for me to come back. It's home. It just feels right.
I'll tell you what, for you, Willie Rofe, and Ricky Jackson, we're going to have to do something about these shirts. We're going to have to flip the colors, and we're going to have to go to gold shirt and the black patch for the Hall of Famers.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that. We're going to talk
about
that.
That sounds good.
We're going to have to see if we can do that.
I'm in.
Morton, thank you so much for
thank
your time
you. It's great
we
to
really
see you.
Appreciate it. You too.
Great to see you, man.
Thanks, Morton.
Always.
Keep
take it to the top, baby.
Yeah. We're going to get that.
In true New Orleans musical fashion, you are headed to Jazz Fest. Have a great time.
Oh, yeah.
We love it.
It's going to be fun.
And we will be eagerly awaiting those ring ceremonies and, of course, the induction in camp.
Yes, that's going to be a blast. Can't wait.
The Saints, their draft pick coming up. We are counting down. Keep it right here on NewOrleansSaints.com. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, Morton. John Casey here. So proud of you. Congratulations for your selection to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You're very, very deserving. Can't think of anybody that is more deserving than you. Congratulations. I hope you enjoy your time.
Congratulations to the King of Kicking, Morton Anderson, on your induction into the NFL Hall of Fame. Well deserved, Morty.
Congratulations again to Mr. Diesel, a.k.a. the legend, Morton Anderson, on his nomination into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Just speechless, just once again, I couldn't say enough, and hopefully I'll be fortunate enough just to have half the career that you've had from one saint to another. Congrats again, buddy.
Morton, my good man, congratulations on making the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Well deserved. You've had a tremendous impact on me and my young career, and I'll be forever grateful. Congrats again.